Paul prayed for it. You know, we need to get a hold of this, you know, not probably because any of us is going to fall into the category of one who's going to bring harm to the prophet of God or touch God's anointed, but because of the fact that, you know, it gives us peace. We are told to trust that the Lord will avenge us. That's how I know it's biblical. It's something that it's a promise that's given unto us. Go over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Because look, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Shall. It's a promise. You know, that's going to happen. You know, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You know, there are many antichrists that are gone out into the world. We are going to have, if we're going to live for God, if we're going to do a work for God, we have been attacked in the past. Our friends are being attacked and have been attacked in the past. We'll all be attacked. It's just going to be a battle after battle after battle after battle. If we're, you know, unless we just want to compromise and back out and give up. Otherwise, it's a fight to the very end. You have to understand, and because of that, because of the fight, you know, the temptation sometimes is that maybe we'll try to take matters into our own hands, which we have never promoted because it's not biblical. And we don't need to, because God is the avenger of us, because we are God's anointed. Romans chapter 12, verse 19 says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord." You know, I don't know what you could do. Who's going to take vengeance on God's enemies better? You or God? I mean, God will, you know. God's going to do it way better than any of us. What are you going to do, slash a tire? You know, write some nasty comment somewhere on social media? I mean, God will take people right out. "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head." It doesn't say, oh, if you do that, then, you know, if you give him food and drink and heap fires of coal on his head, that, you know, he's going to stop and be your buddy. It means that, you know, you're doing good. God's seeing that. He says, well, if he's not going to take things into his own hand, if he's not going to avenge himself against his enemy, I will. Vengeance is mine. "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." The Bible says in Deuteronomy 32, "To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time. For the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste." Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30. "For we know him that hath said," you know, referring back to Deuteronomy, "vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." You know, when you see people attacking a man of God, attacking God's anointed, you know, maybe not even a preacher, maybe just some godly church member, and they start to attack that person, I just sit back and that person should be afraid. Of course they won't, because they have no fear. I think, man, if I were in that person's shoes, I would be so afraid right now what God would do to me. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. And it keeps us, you know, when we understand this promise, and we understand that we could trust God to avenge us as his anointed, as his prophets, it keeps us from taking matters into our hands. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And of course, you know, I'm not advocating, you know, complete 100% pacifism. If you need to defend yourself physically, we understand that that's okay to do. But even then, you know, you got to kind of learn where to draw a line as well. That's another sermon. But when we see people who are just, you know, attacking churches, attacking church members, attacking pastors, and, you know, spreading lies and rumors and just, you know, doxing people. You know, a lot of people, I had to look that up. You know, what is it to dox somebody? You know, taking people's private information, people's personal information, private conversations, and just throwing it out there for the world to see and trying to smear people. You know, the temptation might be, well, we're going to get them back. We're going to do something. We're going to do something about it. But that's not what we're to do. In that instance, you know, we trust God that he will avenge us. Amen. And he does. And that's the great thing about it. Yep. That's why I'm smiling today. Because every time I see God do it, it puts a big grin on my face. I might even make a meme about it. You know, and then you know I'm happy. Take time to do that. Ephesians chapter 6, it says in verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wicked in high places. You know what? We as God's people, as His anointed, as His prophets, we've got much bigger battles to fight than, you know, some railer online, some false accuser online. You know, we don't have to worry about over there trying to right every wrong, trying to correct every lie. You know, just leave such in the hands of God, and He'll take care of them. And He does, and He has, and He will. Well, let's continue fighting the spiritual fight. Let's fight, you know, the against spiritual wickedness in high places and fight this spiritual battle that we're in. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We don't war after the flesh. We don't have to get involved in these carnal fights, as tempting as it is. When we see somebody just being slandered, bullied, lied about, doxed, there's that word again, you know, we don't have to take matters into our own hands. We don't have to get in the flesh and fight. We just understand that God's going to take care of it. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We don't need to take matters into our own hands. You know, and I'll preach this, and you'll say things like this, and you'll tell people, hey, God's going to judge that person, and then they do. You know, then sometimes you can watch people. You can watch people who are just these railers, these liars, these people who attack our church, attack our pastor, attack his family, attack other godly members in this church, attack other pastors and other churches. And you can just sit back, and it's like you can just, you know, next time I want to just start timing it. Just say, well, okay, when's God just going to come down on this person? And you say things like that, and then something happens. You know, say, hey, this is what's going to happen, and then it happens. You know, they wind up dead in some alley with their skull caved in. Amen. From homicide. You know, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, spare yourself. You know, some guy goes online and just starts lying, starts YouTube channels to attack us, attack our church members, and then he's found dead. That's the rumor anyway. I mean, it's a homicide, so it's still under investigation. The guy's dead. You see other people that were, you know, members of this church infiltrate, try to split the church. Then they cause some big rift, and they're gone. And then some horrible thing happens to their child. Right. Look, and I'm sorry for that, when that happens to these kids. But it's like they have the Bible. Maybe God's letting that happen so they can wake up and say, hey, your parents are idiots for attacking the man of God. Well, and then that happens, and the people are, oh, it's a coincidence. Oh, it's a coincidence. Look, these people are not victims of circumstance. God uses human instruments all the time. Oh, you know, drug deals go bad all the time. Man, that's who killed him, some drug dealer selling shoes or whatever. But God uses human instruments to judge people all the time. Right. Anybody who's read the Bible knows that. I mean, how many nations did God use to judge Old Testament Israel when it got backslidden? None more so than the Assyrians and the Babylonians. I mean, just over and over again, it's like God's going to judge this nation. And how did He do it? Through people. You know, how did God destroy Jerusalem 70 years after they crucified Christ? Did He reach down with, you know, and just do it Himself? No, He allowed the Romans to come in and to just burn that city. So this isn't far-fetched. And when you see it happen, you know, there's a way to react to it. You know, and God is going to avenge all the blood upon this earth. You know, we won't go there for sake of time, but in Revelation chapter 6, you know, they cry out, the saints that have been crucified, or not crucified, but martyred in the tribulation, they cry out and they say, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou now judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And God turned to them and said, that's a very unchristian attitude. You're in heaven now. You can't talk like that. You should love them, pray for them. You know, well, I'm going to send you back, and we're all going to have a prayer breakfast together and sit down and see if we can just talk it out. You know, you need to get your heart right. That's not what God, and they're in heaven asking for this. Are you going to avenge us or not? How long until you take vengeance on these people that have done us harm? No, God gives them new clothes, and white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said to them that they should rest for a little season. Hey, take it easy. I'll get to it. You know, and then they had, because more people had to die, you know, they had to wait for their brethren who should be killed as well. But what happens after that? The sixth seal opens. And what happens after that? The tribulation. That's another sermon. But what happens after that? Right? God just starts to pour out his wrath on this earth. And it's just bloodshed, fire, earthquakes, just locusts from hell. And what is God doing when he's doing that? He's avenging the blood of the righteous on the earth and all the innocent blood that's been shed and so on and so forth. And people, you know, you teach this, you point it out when it happens, say that so-and-so, you know, they were, and I'm not saying any names because one, you know, it's not worth saying, and two, because I don't want any more notoriety for them. I want their remembrance to be blotted out. Amen. The sooner I can forget about people like this, the better. And you point it out and say, look, this is what happened to so-and-so. They attacked the man of God. They lie. They slander. They attack church members. They try to stop this. They lie about multiple pastors, so on and so forth. And now look what happened. You know, more than one example of that. And they're the first ones to scoff at that. Pff, whatever. Ain't going to happen. But here's the thing. The people that scoff at that are usually the ones that are deserving of that judgment.